It's been a long time coming. The angels have been stayed. The bride stands ready now to be called away, waiting for the Father seated on his mighty throne to say, go and get your bride, son. Go and bring my children home. And a trumpet will be blowing all our cares away, and only happy tears will be showing on that perfect wedding day. Well, it's the oldest love story, but it can make your heart brand new. It's a gift, it's not borrowed, and it can never leave you blue. So humble your heart before the Master. Let's get on our knees and pray. Oh, get ready now to meet him on that perfect wedding day. And a trumpet will be blowing all our cares away, and only happy tears will be showing on that perfect wedding day. You know the church is the bride, and she was left here long ago. And though the world has come against her, she moves steady and slow. And her gown of white is spotless, and the veil that she wears will be lifted in glory. Don't you want to be there? 'Cause the Savior will greet us with open arms and say, welcome home, my child, well done. Enter in and stay. And a trumpet will be blowing all our cares away, and only happy tears will be showing on that perfect wedding day.
God bless you, Brother Mike. Appreciate that. I'm glad that I'm going to get to experience that someday. Amen. It's going to be wonderful when we're finally called home and the Lord takes his espoused bride to be with him for all eternity. I long for the day, and I'm so thankful for what the Lord has done for me. I'm thankful for what I know and for what I feel in my heart and the peace that I have. And I do need your prayers tonight. I'm so thankful for the opportunity that God has blessed us with, but I need the Lord's help, very much so. So you pray for me tonight, and if God puts something on your heart, if the Lord is moving you, if you've been saved by God's grace and you need to say or do something, you do that tonight. Amen. If you're here tonight and you're lost and the Lord is dealing with your heart, letting you know that something's not right inside, the altar's open here. It's a good place to come and pray, but you pray where you can get in touch with God, Amen. Where He can let you know that you've been saved by God's grace. Want to talk about something tonight that is very near and dear to me, and I believe is near and dear to every person that's been saved. And if you have your Bibles and would like to turn, we want to turn and read in Romans, the 5th chapter, Romans, the 5th chapter, beginning in the first verse. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation or trouble worketh patience. Patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not the sin after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. It's reading Romans, the 5th chapter, in verses 1 through 21 tonight, and the message that God has put on our heart tonight is the grace of God. And I'm glad to know that I've experienced God's grace. I'm glad to know how wonderful God's grace is. We read in the scriptures here about being justified, and what being justified means is being declared just of something that we really shouldn't be declared just in. According to who that we are, the next chapter over in the last verse of the chapter says, "For the wages of sin is death." The penalty or payment for sin is death. And I believe he's talking about eternal death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you know what the gift of God is tonight? I believe it's God's amazing grace. I believe that's what the gift that God has afforded to every man and every woman that's ever lived on this earth and ever will live on this earth is the grace of God. And it's been extended to everyone. It's not just to a specific sect or group of people, but thanks be unto God, He allowed and made it possible that His grace would be available for the taking for each and every one. And I want to paint a picture tonight with the help of the Lord of how to experience the grace of God and how it is readily available for each and every one of us even tonight. I'm thankful that the grace of God was made possible by one man. It is only possible through and by Jesus Christ. And there's a reason that we need grace. What is grace? Well, Webster's 1828 dictionary says the free, unmerited love and favor of God. It's free from God, the spring and source of all the benefits men receive from Him. Everything good that comes, it comes from God, and it comes from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. If you've ever experienced the grace of God, it's because God extended it to you when you didn't deserve it. It's something you didn't work for. It's something you didn't try to attain by a certain thing that you did. It's just because God loves you. And I'm glad to know that God saves a wretched sinners that don't deserve salvation. That's what grace is all about. It's about being on a trial and being guilty for something, not being declared just, but being declared guilty, and someone standing in our place saying, "I'll justify that person and I'll take their place." That's what the grace of God is all about. It's about the man Christ Jesus coming and dying for your and my sins through one man that came and bled and died. I'm glad it didn't take many sacrifices. I'm glad it only took one death, a burial and resurrection, and one man to do it. And that's why it's only one salvation. You only need it one time, because once you get it, that's all you'll need. All you'll need. Therefore, being justified, we want to go back and cover some of these scriptures if we can tonight. We're declared just by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When a person becomes lost and separated from God, the Bible teaches us that they are dead in trespasses and in sins. Now, all that really means is there's a separation that has taken place from the Creator to His creation just in the very beginning. That's the most beautiful picture of how it happens, I believe, is in the Garden of Eden. God told man, He said, "In the day that ye eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, in the day ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die." Well, what He was saying was, you will be separated from Me, and the relationship that we have will be severed. That relationship, as I walk in the cool of the day, and My voice is so sweet to you, and I will guide you and walk with you, and we'll have a wonderful relationship. If you sever that relationship, then there will be a separation. And there was a separation in the Garden of Eden there. And God told Adam, "Unless ye take forth of the tree of life and eat and live forever, you'll not have that freedom and that liberty." But I believe He was pointing to His Son, Jesus. Amen. The whole scripture points to Jesus. Every bit of it does. You see, Adam, when he took of the fruit, he died, and was not just in the condition he was in. He was the opposite of just. He was guilty of his sin. God knew that Adam was going to sin. He knew what was going to take place. So long before God said, "Let there be light," long before God began to take of the dust of the ground and form man and make him after his own image and his likeness, God met in the courtroom of heaven with the Word and the Holy Spirit. I believe God has always been and will always be. The world wants to make you believe that it's been around for millions and billions of years. I don't believe that. I believe it's only been around just a little while, for a few thousand years. And I want you to understand, you have to believe in the Creator if you're ever going to get saved. I believe that. I believe you have to trust and know who He is and trust that He really did make this world and that He is who He says He is. But there was a relationship there that Adam had with God, and that relationship was severed there because of what Adam did, not because of what God did. But in the courtroom, long before the world was ever created, God had set out a plan that there would have to be a way to restore the fellowship with His creation, because the Lord knew as soon as He created man that he would fall, he would fail continually, and because of that one man's sin and transgression, it would be passed all the way down to us tonight from generation to generation. That's why the Scripture says, "So by the offense of one man's sin, it was passed upon all." Because of what he did, his sin was passed down to me and to you tonight. But God knew that every single person that came into this world would be a sinner because of the sin that was passed down to them, even though they thought they might be a good person. When you try to put yourself up to God, there is no good person. Jesus Himself said, "There's none good save the Father in heaven above." So God established a plan. And His Son Jesus said, "Lord, I'll go. Father, I'll go and I'll be the all-sufficient sacrifice. I will make the payment for their sins that they can't make on their own." You see, we can try to pay for our own sins, but it's not good enough. The offerings that we can give, baptism, are trying to pay enough. They're not clean enough. They're not good enough. Even our prayers and who that we are, they're just filthy rags, and what we are is nothing good. You see, but God made a way and a plan that He would offer up a free gift, that anybody that would come and take of the free gift of salvation, that they could come and take of the water of life freely. That's what the Bible says. And they could have the opportunity to experience that relationship with God, that relationship would be no more severed, but oh, it would grow sweeter and closer in the ages of time if that person would experience the grace of God. You see, God knew what was going to happen. He knew our sins, and He understands our pain. The psalmist says He knows who we are. He understands us better than we even do ourselves. He knows the very hairs that are numbered upon our head. He knows Amen. Who that we are. Amen. And He knows that there would be no way possible for us to be declared just before a just and almighty God. You see, He's a perfect God. He's the perfect judge, and He can't have a balance that doesn't weigh the right direction and sway the right direction. Good and evil are in God's hands, and He's able to do as He sees fit with each and every one, but He also can't lie. And He also can't do things in the wrong way. And so He didn't make man the wrong way. He made Adam perfect and had a perfect relationship with him. But man is the one that messed things up. But God knew what would happen. And so God made a way possible that even someone like me that doesn't understand all these things, and you may not understand all these things, but what we want you to understand is that salvation is free to each and every one of us, but there was a price that had to be paid. You ever think about folks that give you gifts? And you say, well, I didn't pay for that gift. Someone gave it to me. No, you didn't. But I want you to know somebody went to the store and they paid the money for that gift to give you that gift. That gift wasn't just free. Somebody had to make and to pay. There was a price and a penalty that had to be paid so that that gift could be offered up and given to you. And the gift that we have been privileged to experience had a price of greater than any of our imaginations could afford. And the price was blood. The only price that could be paid was by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And it wasn't just blood, it was His life. His life had to be offered up in our stead. And so He has paid for the gift of salvation through and by Jesus Christ. That's the only way the gift can be made available to us. You see, everybody wants to just take and not realize that that gift comes from somewhere. It had to come from the plan of salvation that Jesus would come and die for your and my sins so that we could experience the unmerited love and favor of God. It was made possible through and by Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. You can't experience the free gift of salvation without believing in God that gives salvation. You have to have faith. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, that who He is, who He says He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You have to believe in who God is that offered up the free gift and the plan of salvation. You have to trust and know with everything that you have that it is only Him. And I want you to know that you don't even have the faith residing in you to do that. That comes from God too. God grants us the faith to believe in Him. My faith is weak and it's not able to reach up to the heights of heaven. But thanks be unto God, He sent forth His Holy Spirit to come and help me, to ask a prayer of me to offer up before God, because I didn't know what prayer to pray. But you see, the free gift of salvation is all through and by God Himself and His Son Jesus and the Holy Spirit. All I did was come and beg the Lord for help and trust in His free gift that is the only thing that would save me would be by the grace of God. I couldn't be saved any other way but through His marvelous grace. I couldn't make it on my own. It had to take something that God would give me without me working for it, without me trying to offer Him something. Yes, God wants your whole life. He wants everything from you. But you see, God only gives salvation to those that are willing to surrender and to want the gift of salvation more than anything. Have you ever wanted a gift in life? I mean, ever really wanted something? I wanted a dirt bike one time so bad. I remember wanting, and I'd looked for it for a long time as a young boy, and I wanted that gift so bad. I could just about taste it, and I wanted it. You know, salvation is a lot more than a physical thing because this is eternal life. And if you've ever wanted something, you need to want this more than anything, or else you will never get it. Salvation has to be something that's desired for, something that is a wanting, something that is deep inside of you that you want more than anything. And that gift can only be attained to through and by Jesus Christ. And He's got to see the want in your heart.
Amen.
He's got to see the desire. God loves us so much in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Again, He says in the 9th verse, much more than, first of all, in the first verse, He says, we are being declared just by faith, by believing in the free gift of salvation that's only through and by what Jesus did on Calvary's Hill, that's enough to save us. By truly believing in what He did, that it's enough to save us. We believe in that more than a mind thing. The world wants you to think that it's just a decision thing. You need to decide to seek God, but only can you experience and be a Christian after God hears your prayer and He lets you know that you're a Christian and He has saved you from the inside out. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified. Not only are we justified by faith, we're also justified by His blood. We shall be saved from wrath through Him. What wrath is God talking about? If you look back with me in John, we can see that those that haven't believed in the only begotten Son of God, the wrath of God abides on that man already because he hath not believed in the only begotten Son of God. You see, God's wrath, and that's what that feeling of condemnation is. That's God being displeased with the situation that we're in. And that's Him letting us know, hey, you're not one of my children. You need to get your heart right with me. I want to give you the gift of salvation. But it's up to you to come and open up the package and to reach down and grab it out of there. I've made a plan of salvation for you. And the only way for you to get that package is to trust that I'm the one giving you the package of eternal life. I'm the one that made the package. I'm the one that'll give it to you. But you've got to be willing to knock. You've got to be willing to seek. And you've got to be willing to find it. It may not come at this altar. It may not come at your bed at home. But I'm thankful that when a person seeks for the grace of God, if they'll seek for it, they'll find the grace of God. Because God wants to save people. That's why He puts that condemnation in our heart. That's why He lets us know that we're sinners. That's why the plan of salvation is made simple. If God didn't want a bunch of people to be saved, He'd have made it complicated in a way that not even a little child like a little 7-year-old boy could understand. But God made it simple that you just trust and believe in Jesus Christ with all of your heart. You surrender to Him everything you have and you turn it all over to Him. And when you're doing that, you're believing in God. You're having faith in God. You're repenting to His satisfaction, not even knowing what's going on. And God extends the free gift of grace to you and He saves your soul, all because you just came and said, I want to give, Lord. I want it, Lord, more than anything. And He said, all right, if you want it, you surrender your life to me and you give it all over to me and I'll make you experience that gift and I'll give it to you to have for all eternity. And it doesn't go away. It just keeps getting better. As Paul said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. It just gets better, the gift of God does. Oh, and I just can't wait till it'll get even better. When we make it to the other side, you think the gift of God is good now. I think we'll finally know what grace is when we make it. When we finally get to see our Savior, we'll know what grace is. We'll experience it the way God wanted us to. For if, when we were enemies, those that aren't saved by God's grace, if you're lost and out in sin, you're an enemy of God. You're against Him. We were reconciled to God. The relationship is restored to God by the death of His Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. So not only was the death possible and the death was important and had to happen, the resurrection is just as important because it left those sins in that grave. I nailed them to the cross and God rose again. And thanks be to God, I will too. And I'll be able to be with Him forevermore. He's resurrected, and I will too. We are resurrected. We're made alive. You see, that's why we're baptized, because it's an outward expression of being raised to newness of life. And that's what happens when we're saved. That person that was dead, like we talked about Adam was, that was separated from God. And that's all death is. It's a separation. When you see a person in a casket, aren't they separated from that soul? That's what has happened there. And that's what happens when a person is lost and separated from God. There's a separation from God. And thanks be unto God, as he died and was buried and resurrected, that made the plan of salvation finished, and it made it possible for that fellowship that was broken, that we were dead, to be made alive, and not just made back to the same life that we was and that we were living in, but to be a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus. God doesn't just leave us the same old wretched person. This flesh looks the same, but this soul is all new. And it's been purified, washed, made white in the blood of the Lamb. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. They be red like crimson, they'll be as white as wool. God will clean up all that mess that's inside of your soul. God knows our hearts. The heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Lord is the only one that can try the reins and search the heart. He knows our hearts tonight, and I'm glad he does. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received the atonement. I want you to know what Jesus did a lot more than just saved us. It's a whole lot deeper than that, a lot more than I could understand. But I want you to know it finalized the plan of salvation, that we could be wholly saved. Not part of the way. It doesn't need to be any more than that. God made a way that in Jesus, that's all we need to be saved. Amen. He's enough. He's enough to save us from our sin. We're not. We don't have enough good works. We don't have enough good things we can do. We can do all that we can try to make ourselves purify, but we just keep messing it up. But Jesus made it right. Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Every one of us. Every one of us had taken part of that sin. Skip on down with me to verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. What's the free gift? The grace of God. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more by the grace of God and the gift by grace, that of salvation, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. Everyone was condemned in our sins because of one. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For by one man offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification. Do you know what Jesus said the Holy Spirit would do? The Comforter would do when he left. As Jesus ascended back to the Father, he said, I'll not leave you comfortless, but I'll send the Comforter, and he'll reprove or convict or convince the world of their sin. So he lets us know that we're a sinner, and he also would convict the world and convince the world of righteousness. Because we don't have the righteousness in ourselves to save ourselves. God plainly lets us know by His Holy Spirit that we're not righteous enough. That all the deeds we try to do are not good enough. And all we try to do is just not going to cut it when we get there. There's going to be many people at the great judgment day that are going to say, Lord, I did this and I did that. And He's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Because your righteousness wasn't good enough. So the Holy Spirit was to convince the world of sin, of righteousness. And I'm thankful that not only did God convince me of my lack of righteousness, He also convinced me of His righteousness that He imputed to me when He saved my soul. He convinced me of that by letting me know that he would impute that righteousness to me, just as he did Abraham, as he believed God and accounted it to him for righteousness. It's a believing and trusting in who God is and knowing that he is our only Savior. The Bible plainly says that there is no other Savior save in him alone. He is our Savior. And I'm glad to know tonight that when he convinces us of righteousness, he also convinces us of the judgment to come, and it won't be to this soul. I'll be purified because I've been declared just by an almighty God who didn't deserve to be justified, but God set me free. That's what God does when he saves you. He makes a guilty person an unguilty one because he took the guilt for you and me. That's what the grace of God is. It's that Jesus Christ, a Jesus of Nazareth, the one that came and lived a perfect sinless life, was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost, and his mother was Mary. You see, he was a perfect man, but he's also God in the flesh, and he came and died for your and my sin.
Amen.
And as did all of that to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men to justification. As we said earlier in our message, this plan of salvation, the free gift of salvation, was made possible to all men. No one would be left out. God loves each and every one of us. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Did he say all? Unfortunately not. Because you've got to experience the gift of salvation. You've got to experience it for yourself. Doesn't matter who your parents are. It doesn't matter where you're at or what you've done. You have to experience the gift of salvation for yourself.
Amen.
It's between you and God.
Amen.
You pray and he talks back. You say, God does that? Well, actually, he initiates the conversation. You see, because what he does is he speaks just like he did to Adam there after Adam had sinned. And he started looking for Adam. He said, Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? God knew exactly where Adam was. But you know, he does that for lost
Amen.
People. He says, where are you, lost child? I see you out here wandering in sin. Where are you? And Adam had sowed fig leaves, him and Eve, and tried to hide themselves from God. The Lord knew what had happened, but the Lord asked him, he said, did you eat of the tree I told you not to eat of? God already knew. But you see, he wanted Adam to become accountable, to admit to God that he was a sinner. The first step in turning to God is admitting what you are and who you are. And Adam admitted his sin to God and came to him. He admitted he tried to blame it on Eve, who tried to blame it on the serpent. But you know whose fault it really was? It was Adam's fault. Because God gave him, he gave him the commandment. You know whose fault your sin is? It's not Adam's fault. It's your fault. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But you know what God did? He cursed and Adam, cursed Adam and Eve and told them what he was going to have to do there. And I believe it's the third chapter. We'll just turn and read it. I didn't know I was going over here tonight, but we want to follow the Lord tonight. In the third chapter of Genesis, and the Lord said, unto verse 14 of the third chapter, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. He was also portraying and prophesying of Jesus that would be to come. And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow in thy conception. That was going to be some of her punishment in sorrow. Thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shalt it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And listen to this verse. Unto Adam also, and unto his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. You see, God, he gave the punishments that would be given, but Adam and Eve had already experienced the separation from God. And so God took and he did the first animal sacrifice, I believe, to show them exactly what they were going to need in order to be able to restore the fellowship. It wasn't animal sacrifices what they were needing. What they needed is Jesus Christ. They needed a Savior to save them from their sins. They needed the relationship to be restored back to God, and they couldn't do it on their own. They had to trust in the death of Jesus Christ, their Savior, in order for a relationship to be able to be in the fellowship that God wants it to be, for us to experience eternal life. The only way they could experience that was if they experienced the grace of God. God just wants to show His grace to all of us. He wants us to experience the grace. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. God's unmerited, His love that we didn't work for, His favor with Him that we didn't work for, but I tell you, who worked to make God be able to have a loving relationship with us is Jesus Christ. Jesus made it all possible that we can have a relationship with God. We're too unworthy. We're too unholy. We're too sinful, but God sent forth His Son to be able to establish a relationship that through believing in Him and what He did on Calvary's Hill, if we trust in Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, if we believe in what He did and that it is enough to save us, we can experience the grace of God. Some very familiar scriptures that in Ephesians, the second chapter, going to go ahead and start in the first verse. And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, are made alive, where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. It was passed down to us. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together, or made us alive with Christ. By grace ye are saved. The only way that any of us could be saved is by the grace of God. Is because God extended love when love didn't deserve to be extended to you and me. Because He sent forth His perfect Son, who did not deserve to die, to take my place and your place. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace, and we get to experience even more in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. You can't do it alone. It's not in you to save yourself. You can't make it on your own. There's no way possible. With man, it is impossible, God said. But with God, it's possible. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. The greatest gift that has ever been given is the gift of salvation through and by Jesus Christ. Because it's a gift that gives for all eternity. It's a gift that'll last forever and ever. And it's a gift that was paid by the dearest payment that could ever be made, by the perfect sinless Lamb of Jesus Christ. The perfect Son of God. And that's how the payment for the free gift to me was made, was by Jesus Christ. Not of works, lest any man should boast. A world of people around us saying they're saved by things that they've done. Works will not make it. Any good thing we try and do, we can't make it. The only works that would save us is the work that Jesus did on Calvary's Hill as He gave His life for you and me. This message may have seemed different tonight. It may have even been presented in ways you've not heard it before. But I hope and pray it was the gospel and it came from the Lord. I feel like it was tonight. It came from His holy word. And if it touches your heart, if you feel the Lord speaking to you, please don't turn Him off. It's Him trying to find His way into your soul. And you need to seek after Him and let Him in. Trust in Him with all your heart. Believe in what He did, that it is enough to save you, so you can experience the free gift of salvation. Amen. Let's have a song. If you're here tonight and you're lost and you need to come to the altar to pray, please do. If you need to pray in your seat, please do. Just let us pray with you until God's let you know that it's all right inside.